Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to James chapter 1. And some of you in here have heard just about everything I've got to say. But you're going to hear it again for the next 30 minutes or so. And we're going to look at a marvelous passage of Scripture, a real life-changing passage of Scripture. Really, I don't know many passages of Scripture that aren't life-changing, unless maybe it's the begats there in Matthew. Have never really affected me a great deal, although I know they're in there for a purpose. But James chapter 1, in a few minutes we're going to read the first 8 verses together. But what I'd like for you to do is look down to verse 4, and I want you to put your finger on about where it says perfect result, right about there where that comma is. And I want you to look at the last 10 words with me, okay? It says, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Now, I want to share something really exciting with you about those words. The word perfect is a word that means, it's the Greek word, word teleos. And it's a word that means to come to full maturity, to come really to absolute completion. One man, Barclay, a commentator, says it like this. He says, a scholar is teleos, or is perfect, if he is past the initial stages of learning and he's mature. A person is teleos, or is perfect, if he's past the age of bodily development and he's full grown. Therefore, a perfect Christian, a teleos Christian, is one who is fit for the task in the world which he was sent in the world to do and which God meant for him to do. All right? A teleos Christian is one who's come to maturity. It's like a teleos scholar. I mean, there's some men here on the OU campus, perhaps, who you could say, well, they're teleos scholars. I mean, they don't know everything there is to know, but they've come to such maturity in their thinking, in the realm of their expertise, that they have the real ability to do what they intend to do with their life. And a teleos Christian is a person who has gone on in his development and has come to that point in his life of such maturity that he's beginning to realize and beginning to do what God created and designed him to do. I love that little phrase that I read one time, in fact, in the form of a prayer that someone said, I pray that you will come to be all that you were in the mind of God before he even created you. God wants you to become all that you were in his mind before he even created you, to grow to teleos, to grow to maturity. So he says, look at verse 4, that you may be perfect, teleos, and secondly, that you may be complete. This is a similar word with a little different shade of meaning, and this means entire. It means perfect in all parts. It means nothing missing in your life. In other words, here's the first word that means to come to maturity. Here's a little further word that you might be complete, that every realm of your life might come to maturity. That all the parts would be where they ought to be. That daily you are shedding more and more of sin. No area that's untouched. No habit that's undealt with. No flaw that is unresolved in your life. That you might come to real completion in your life. Okay? That you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. And that's self-explanatory. It means simply that in no way, there's no deficit in any realm of your life. We can look at some men in the Word of God and we can see about them, well, these men were not perfect. We think of that word perfect in the terms of absolute perfection, but I think Paul was a perfect man. Now, Paul was a man who said, I'm a sinner and I'm the chief of sinners and I know I have errors in my life and I know I've not attained all that I should, but I press forward to the goal. But he said there was something about the life of Paul that here was a man who had come to maturity. Right? Here was a man who had come to completeness. Here was a man who was no deficit in his life and ministry, and he was beginning to fulfill and to do that which God had intended him to do and to be. Now let me ask you a very important question. How many of you would like to come to the point where it could be said about your life someday down the road, there is a man, there is a woman who is perfect teleos, mature, complete, lacking in nothing. Well, I believe all of us would. I don't know anybody who'd say, well, no, I'd like to be imperfect. You know, I was thinking about a little imperfection for me, a little immaturity. I'd love a little incompleteness. I want to leave some areas unresolved. No, all of us want in our life. It's kind of like marriage. You know, I have never had a couple come to me in marriage and sit down in premarital counseling and say, you know, what we'd like to do is we want to get married and have a beautiful marriage and then go for, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5 years, have some children, and then we want to start hating each other. And then we'd really, you know, have some great fights and throw stuff and, you know, and then we want to go through a really ugly divorce and a really rough time. There's never a couple, not once. Has ever been for you, Dave? Never been one for me. Never been one for you, Max? Don't answer that question. There has never been one couple who has ever wanted that in their life in pre-marriage. But I want to tell you, there are a lot of folks who have experienced that, right? A lot of folks who've experienced that. Well, you don't want to sit here right now tonight, 1988, in your college days and say, yes, that's what I want. I want to be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. I want to come to real maturity in my life. But then down the road, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, 30 years from now, or maybe on your deathbed, and you look back at your life and say, man, I totally missed it. My life was a waste. And I want to tell you something, gang. There are a lot of folks who have sat right where you sat. Been right where you are. Had the same aspirations that you have in your heart. And they have started off well, but they have finished very, very poorly. Not only is history full of them, the Word of God is full of illustrations of that. What is to prevent you from ending like that? What is necessary for you to become a man, a woman who is perfect, complete, lacking in nothing? Well, I want us to see it together in God's Word tonight. And I think you're going to be a little bit surprised at what's necessary and what the process is. I want you to notice just a couple of things with me tonight. First of all, number one, and that's this, that spiritual completeness, we could call it, or spiritual maturity in our life, to be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing, is only gained by endurance. Endurance. Look what the Bible says. Let's read the passage together. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Hi, he's saying. Consider, hi guys. I wonder why they didn't, well, never mind. Anyway, verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Of yours might read diverse temptation. And it's interesting, you know, Aaron here, he thought that was a mermaid at the bottom of the sea, diverse temptations. But anyway, that's not it. diverse temptation. When you encounter various trials, and that word trials can also be translated temptations. So we could say when you encounter various trials, difficulties, temptations, you can just put a whole lot of things in that pot right there. Now look as it goes on. Knowing, and the only reason that you can have joy is because you know something about the end result. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But let endurance have its perfect result. One Bible seems like it's Philip says, let it go run its full course in your life, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, Philip says, if any of you doesn't know how to handle a particular problem, let him ask of God, and that wisdom will be given to him liberally and without reproach. In other words, God won't make fun of you for asking. Isn't that great? I mean, you could go over to one of your OU professors and you could ask him a question 10 times, and boy, he would come to the point where he'd really laugh at you and think you were a real stooge. But when you go to God, you can keep coming and keep asking him of wisdom about every area of life, and he will not reproach you. See, he loves a man who comes to him, who humbles himself and comes to him. So he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, just come to God. I will give it to him generously and without reproach. Let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a two-souled man, a double-minded man who is unstable in all of his ways. Now, completeness, spiritual maturity, is only gained by endurance. Endurance.
He says the result of the way to come to the perfect result of endurance is to be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. So the key to perfection, to completeness, to getting to that point where your life is really counting and being all that it was intended to be, is this quality of endurance. The quality of endurance. Now, what is endurance? The word in the Greek language is a word hupomone, and hupo means under, and mone means to abide. And so literally the word means to abide under. That's interesting, isn't it? To remain under. And the quality is this. It's the quality to bear up, to stay under, even when the going gets tough. Hupomone, the quality of endurance, endures. It keeps on going. It remains. It sticks in there, right? It bears up. It's the ability to stand. It's the ability to stay in place regardless of what happens. You see a lot of students in this year. You may have already seen some. You may have experienced it in some ways in your life where some difficulty or problem comes and they don't stay in place, right? They take off. They give with the pressure. And hupomone is that quality of endurance, and it has to be developed in our life, but that quality of endurance which gives you the ability in life to keep on keeping on, to become literally a spiritual marathoner. Let me give you an illustration. When I was in junior high and high school, there were two kinds of football players. There was one kind like Mark Michael Bust, who was in our school. Isn't that a neat name? And Mark was one of these guys who had, really, to be honest about it, he had a limited amount of ability. But he was nuts, was my interpretation about it. And Mark would, I mean, you'd say, the coach would say, Mark, go beat your head against that wall. And he'd go, boom, 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 boom. You know, I mean, he just gave it everything he had. You know, he's one of these guys that say, the coach would say, we need 110, and Mark would give 120. You know, I mean, he was just no matter what. And I remember one time he got hurt bad. I can't remember what it was, but he was hurting, and he went out there. He was a linebacker, and I mean, he just gave himself 100%. Even when he was hurt, he just remained in place. He stayed in place. That was one of the reasons he made a great linebacker. Because you couldn't get him out of there, see. I mean, he just stayed in place. Well, there were guys like that that had the quality of endurance. And Mark was a guy that even in practice, I mean, the coach would say, do 10 push-ups, and he'd do 11, you know, or 15. And boy, he just gave himself. All through the years that I knew Mark, I never knew him to let up playing football or practicing football. He had the quality of stick-to-itiveness. He had the quality of endurance, and because of that, he became an all-state football player. I mean, he's a tremendous ball player. Now, there were guys like Mark Michael Bust, and then there were guys like me. you know, I was one of these guys, and you guys are laughing because about half you guys in here were just exactly like me. And I was the kind of guy, you know, that I'd do push-ups, you know, while the coach was walking by. And then when he went by, I'd drop down to my knees and I'd go like this, you know, right? How many of you guys did that? Let's see your hands. Come on, confession time. Yes. And I really didn't care. I was out there to have a good time, and it wasn't my life, and it was my body, and I didn't have the quality of endurance. And I'll never forget one time when I was in practice, a guy stepped on my hand. Now, that was back when they wore those, cleats, and it just kind of went through. And so I had a bunch of stitches put in there, and the rest of the season, I blocked like this. You know, I wasn't good. Nobody's going to touch this hand, buddy. Now, Mark Michael Bust, he would have rammed that hand up somebody's nose, but not me. That's right. Now, that's the difference, see. Two kinds of football players. One kind is a guy who gives it everything, who regardless of the circumstances, when the coach is looking, when the coach is not looking, when it hurts and when it's okay, when it's raining or when it's sunshiny outside, he keeps on going in his life. Now, God says, look at verse 4. if endurance has its perfect results, if you will let endurance be all that it ought to be and develop that quality of endurance, you know what it will do in your life? It will bring about this result. You will come to be a man who is mature. If you have the quality in your Christian life that no matter what happens in your life, you keep going. See? You stay with it. You don't give up. You're in there when it feels good and when it doesn't feel good. You're plugging away when the emotions are riding high as a kite and it's real easy to go on with the Lord, and you keep plugging away when the emotions are just gone and God is testing you to see if you'll just walk by faith and not by sight. The quality of endurance in your life. You're in there when everybody's patting you on the back and encouraging you, and when the ministry that you have is very visible, and then you keep on plugging though when all others around you are seeing great results and you're seeing minimal results, but you desire just to be faithful before God, and you are realizing that you want to develop the quality of endurance in your life. I want to tell you something, gang. I want you to listen real carefully. It's 7:20 on Thursday, January the 21st, 1988. I want to tell you a very profound statement. Are you listening carefully? There are not many Christians on the face of the earth who have the quality of endurance. And you say, oh, I know a lot. There are not many Christians on the face of the earth that have the quality of endurance. They're far and away most of Christendom who names the name of Christ and profess to know Christ as their Lord. Something happens along the way. The slightest little issue comes in their path and they quit. And they don't remain under. They don't stay by the stuff. They don't hang tough, right? And you can see that illustrated because a long time ago they dropped the study of God's Word. They're not consistent in their daily Bible time and their devotional life. And the slightest little thing throws them off, but a person, everybody gets thrown off from their quiet time. I mean, Max Barnett gets thrown off every once. He won't tell you that, but I'll tell you that. I mean, I think that's true. Don't you? Please tell me that's true. But everybody gets thrown off every once in a while. But the guy who doesn't have the quality of endurance, he gets thrown off and he's gone for months. All right? He's gone for weeks. He may be gone for years. In fact, you know, I could point you to some men. In fact, a man in our church the other day was talking about this. He said, I can point you to some older gentlemen in our church. And he said, I knew them 30 years ago. And he said, I guarantee you 30 years ago, you would have thought those men were spiritual men. And they were men with a hot heart for the Lord, and men who really wanted to go on with God. But somewhere along the way, something came in their path, and they did not go through. They did not have the quality of endurance, and they gave up. See? And now they've become bitter men, angry men, closed-minded men, frustrating the work of God, not seeing God's best in their own life. Are the lives of those around him. There are many people who are not overcoming sin in their life. There are not a lot of Christian people who never follow through on commitments in their life. What is the only path to become perfect, complete, lacking in nothing? What produces that result? Endurance. Endurance. All right, you say, man, that is great. I want to be a spiritual marathoner. I want to develop the quality of endurance. I want to be a guy who can come to the end of his life and lay his head down on his deathbed and say with Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith all the way through. Now, how can I get that quality of endurance? Well, you're going to be real surprised at this. Maybe not. Endurance, it seems to me, in the Word of God, is only developed through continual testing. Endurance is only developed in our life through continual testing. The word testing is an interesting word. One man describes it like this, that a test or testing is the means or methods used to bring a person up to a standard. That is, up to a state worthy of approval. Let me say that again. Listen real carefully. A test is the means or the methods used to bring a person up to a standard or to a position worthy of approval. You know, I don't believe this, gang, but you know this week I came over to OU and took a test. I mean, it almost sent me into a cold chill just getting back over on the, you know, and that kind of, I thought when I finished seminary I'd never do that again. But I am applying for a doctoral program in one of our seminaries, and so I had to come over here and take a Miller Analogies test. It's like, you know, hamburgers are to French fries like Shakespeare is to eggnog, or ABCD. I mean, it's like that. It was real, you know, one-third is to one-fifth like two is to what, and these kind of things that I just couldn't figure out very well. But you take tests every week, right? And you love them, right? How many of you just love tests? Let's see. Good night, nurse. Brent Barnett. I know that's not true. A test that your professor gives you, what he's doing, it's a method of education. It's a method of development. It's the means or method to bring you. Let's say you have some kind of a course in statistics or something. So you take these tests, and the reason is that they're trying to develop you, to bring you up to a place worthy of approval, where you really develop something in your life. You come up to that standard, and somebody can look at you, and you can know of yourself, there is a man who is proficient in that area of his life. He knows something. He comes to that place where he is perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. And that was only developed through what? Through testing. And that testing had its full result when that man went through with endurance. He kept on keeping on in the midst of every test that he had. When I was a high schooler, I had a friend who was a real good diver. So we went out one time, and well, we went out lots of times to a place, and he used to do all these fancy dives. Well, man, I mean, I can't do anything like that, but I started trying. Well, you start flipping around, and I flipped over, you know, I got to where I could do a flip, you know, which any guy can do in the earth. And so he would always do this one and a half. And so I thought, well, you know, my stars, I can do that. And so we started messing around, and I got to where I could do a one and a half. Well, I did it. I say I got to where I could do it. I mean, I probably did it a half a dozen times. And then on about time number seven, I'm telling you, I went up in the air and some hand came out of the stratosphere and moved my body around. And I landed in a position that no human being was ever intended by God to land in. I mean, it was incredible. I don't know what happened. But you know what I vowed in my life? I will never do that dive again. Now, you know, and I haven't. I don't even do a flip anymore. I barely jump off the board. I mean, I just said, that is it, boy. No more for me. This kid, that's it. Now, some guys would go off there and bust their head, and they'd come out of there spitting blood and get right back on the diving board and do it again. And they would keep doing that until they got it right, see? Not me. I didn't have the quality of endurance in that situation. I was not willing to keep on taking the test and going through the test. If I had had endurance, the ability to remain under, to stay in place, to keep on going, I imagine through some act of God, probably it had been providence, I could have one day come to the point where I could have been proficient in diving. See? We could go on and give all kinds of different illustrations. You know, you could go out here and let's say you're a runner and you can go out and start running all of a sudden and you work yourself up to half a mile and 1 mile and you get to 1 mile and then you do that for a while and you think, you know, I think I could go 2 miles, and you're at a crossroads. You're facing a test. You're facing a point where you have to make a decision. And so if you say, no, I'm not going to go on to that test, you'll never develop where you can go 2 miles. Right? Never will. Now, I want to tell you something. There are literally hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of Christians who have gone to one point or another in their life and gotten the point, and a test has come up, and God has said to them, now will you go on with me? It may have been a difficulty in their life. It may have been some pressure in their life. It may have been a realm of temptation in their life, and they threw up their hands and said, I'm not going on. Now I want to tell you, this is so real to me right now for a lot of different reasons. But one of the reasons is, in the last 4 or 5 years, there have been so many issues in my life where it seems as if I've been sitting in my study before God, and God has said to me, if you go on this way, it's going to mean these consequences, and you're going to have to face these things. Now, are you willing to do you have the quality of endurance? Will you stay? Will you pass that test? Now, if you go on to that test, it will mature you, it will complete you, it will develop you, you'll learn how to deal with that kind of situation, and you will grow from glory to glory to glory in your life till you can look back at your life and say, there is a man who is perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. And every person in this room is going to face literally hundreds and thousands of tests. You face a lot of small tests. We had a Dale Faisenfeld and Revival call these pop quizzes. You have all kinds of pop quizzes that you face every day in your life. And tomorrow you're going to face a lot of pop quizzes. I mean, the alarm's going to go off in the morning. And it's time to get up and get your head in the Word and your heart before the Lord to begin the day. And you're either going to have the quality of endurance and you face that test and you say yes, and that is a means to develop you up to a standard. It brings you up to where you're worthy of approval, where you're passing the test and you become developed in that area of your life, or you're going to say no. I'm not going another mile. That's it. Or I'm not going that mile today. And then generally when you say I'm not going that mile today, tomorrow you say I'm not going that mile tomorrow. I heard a great statement the other day by a fellow, or I read a great statement. And he said, every act of the common day either makes or unmakes your character. Well, that's sobering to me. Every act of the common day either makes or unmakes your character. Right? I mean, you know, you look at somebody who you really admire in the Christian life. And you look at them, and I tell you, I've got some men who are real fathers in the ministry to me, who are really champions of the faith to me. And I look at those men and I think, man, how did that man get there to be like that? Did he just wake up one day and suddenly he was a great Bible teacher, or wake up one day and suddenly he was a great man of God with holy character in his life? No. Every act of the common day either makes or unmakes your character. And we are facing those tests all along the way. And then sometimes, every once in a while, God gives you, man, a semester exam. and boy, it's there. And it's a biggie. And those are really, boy, some of those semester exams is where some folks check out. A lot of folks check out. I've watched it. I've seen it in my own life, the lives of others. They come to that semester exam. Boy, and I mean, it's tough, and it's going to require really going on with the Lord and standing alone, walking with God, walking by faith, you know, hanging in there tough. And they just say, no. And so they remain a freshman all their life. Could anything be worse? Right? They never, ever, ever go on. I've been out several times to Grace Community Church out in Los Angeles. Some of you are familiar with that church where John MacArthur is a pastor. It's a great, great church. They have 8,000 or 10,000 folks coming on a Sunday. They probably have about 3,000 to 4,000 people in home Bible studies all over that valley, and they're really affecting their community and their world for Christ. Great missions program. And MacArthur, if you know anything about him, is a great, great expositor of the Word. I mean, he is a tremendous expositor of the Word. And every time I'm out there and I sit through that conference, I've been out there 2 or 3 times, and I sit through that conference and I look at all their ministries. They have 40 men on their pastoral staff, and 38 of those men are men that were raised up in the church. I think, man, that is so great. Men really develop. Men really becoming great men of God. And I say, how does that happen? And every time I come to the same conclusion. Years ago, 20, 30 years ago, John MacArthur made a decision, I am going to give myself to the study and the application of the Word of God. And he said, I'm not going to say yes over here and yes over here and yes over here to all these other things that clamor for my attention. I remember one time he said, you know, I'm a preacher of the gospel. That's what God has called me to do. And he said, God has not called me to be a politician. I thank God for our Christian politicians, he said. I think every Christian ought to be involved in politics. But he said, it is not my responsibility to go all over the countryside on crusades. My particular responsibility is to be in the Word of God and to teach the Word of God. Now listen, because that one particular man has had the quality of endurance and has passed the test that have tried to draw him away from that, and I know there have been thousands all along the way, everything in that church, I think, has sprung out of that man's life and his devotion to the Word of God. And you see him, I look at him and I say, man, there is a man who is perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. He's a man not of a perfection in our term, but he's a man of such maturity that he is really on target accomplishing the goal that God intended for him to have. And it is helping thousands of others do the same thing. How do you become that man of God? Every act of the common day either makes or unmakes your character. How do you come to completeness, endurance? How do you develop the quality of endurance? Through testing. Through testing. Going on and on and on and not resisting those tests, but embracing them and rejoicing in them as God's tool to develop you into a man, a woman of God. May God give us a grace to rejoice in the tests, to develop the quality of endurance and become spiritual marathoners so that the world might see men and women who are perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Father, how we praise you for your word that is in itself perfect, complete, and Father, is given to us and your Spirit given to us to bring us to maturity. Father, we don't want to frustrate anybody. Lord, this quality, these qualities of becoming teleos, of becoming complete with no deficiencies, lacking in nothing, which you said in your word is possible to happen. You couldn't have commanded it if it was impossible. Otherwise, you'd be an unfair God. And if you were unfair, you'd be imperfect, and if you're imperfect, you wouldn't be God at all. So it's possible for that to happen in my life, and in each life in this room. But Father, I don't want to frustrate these young people to imply that that's something that occurs overnight. Father, it's the development of a life that is developed one day at a time. So Father, I just pray that you would help us and grant us the grace and the power to face the test tonight. And to not shy away, not to say, no, I ain't going to take that test. But to go on through, to sign up for the course, or put our name on the line, and be in every class, and take every test, and go on with you. Oh God, may the blessing of God rest on these students. Make them great men and women of God. Send them all over the world for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and for your sake, that you might receive honor through their lives. Amen.